The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "The one who is bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him, and for this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet and had put on his robe and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, so you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you as an example that you also should do as I have done for you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Sometimes dinner parties change history. Alexander Hamilton and Thomas Jefferson dined together and solved a national debt crisis. At the same meal, they decided to build Washington, D.C., and some dinners remain a part of history. Take Thanksgiving, for example. Thanksgiving is a time where we gather with those we love and care about. Jesus had his own historic dinner party. In the Eucharist, we reenact a part of that meal every Sunday, and we will reenact a bit of it a little later this evening. It's a meal that expresses God's love for us, God's care for us, and our love and care for one another. Yet there's a part of Jesus' final dinner party that we don't reenact, or at least we don't reenact it very often. Foot washing. Touching people's feet can be, well, awkward. Washing feet is a personal care thing. It's personal care because it's something we like to do for ourselves, and we aren't too keen on having other people do it for us. We might feel the same way about Jesus watching the disciples' feet. Jesus confirms to the cultural norms with no complaining, no getting grossed out. He simply washes. Peter is appalled. He doesn't want Jesus to wash his feet. Foot washing is in the job description of a servant and therefore degrading. No way is Jesus going to wash his feet. Jesus confronts Peter, saying, "Unless I wash you, you have no share in me." Peter's resistance instantly withers. Peter now wants to be washed. He's all in. "Wash me fully. Wash my feet, wash my hands, wash my head. Wash me fully." Jesus' response is classic. In essence, Jesus says, "You don't need a bath." And then Jesus goes deeper. He is no longer talking just about being physically clean. He talks about being spiritually clean. He tells Peter, "You are clean. You're clean." This is a stunning statement. Jesus tells Peter, the man who within a few days will completely deny that he has spent any time with Jesus whatsoever, Jesus tells this very same Peter that he is clean. What if God said these words to you personally? "You are clean." How would you interpret that statement? Would God be saying to you, "You are loved, you matter, your sins are forgiven, you are beautiful, you are fully accepted"? Would God be saying, "I look at you and I like what I see. I'm excited about your future. I delight in you"? At the end of the service, the altar will be stripped down to its bare essentials. The colorful hangings, the candles, the consecrated bread and wine, and a few other items will be removed. Then the altar will be cleaned. I want you to imagine that you are that altar. I want you to imagine that as each item is removed, your true self is being revealed. You're fully loved and fully accepted by God. God's not ashamed of you. God delights in who you are and where your life is going. And as you watch those altar items disappear, say to yourself, "God delights in me. God delights in me." And when the altar is washed, imagine God's water of love washing over you, fully loving, fully accepting, fully delighting in you. You are the target of God's love and delight. God delights in you. Amen.